A very good Friday. Welcome to this edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Coming up in the show here today, we'll bring you feature agricultural news reports, and then we'll check in with national and regional agricultural news headlines as well. And we get started with regional agricultural news right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
California lawmakers have advanced a bill that would prohibit hedge funds and other institutional investors from buying and selling agricultural water resources for financial gain. Under the measure, which passed the state assembly by a 46-17 vote, speculation or profiteering by investment funds in a sale, transfer, or lease of water rights on agricultural land would be considered a waste or unreasonable use of water. In a legislative analysis, the bill's sponsor, California Assembly Member Rebecca Bauer-Cahan, a Democrat, cited a recent Bloomberg Green investigation that showed how institutional investors have purchased agricultural land and used diminishing groundwater supplies to grow almonds and pistachios at a significant profit, drawing down aquifer levels as nearby household wells dried up. These practices have seemingly accelerated in the midst of two of California's worst droughts on record, according to the staff report. Western Growers Association and other agricultural trade groups oppose the bill, saying it would prohibit a potential solution afforded by private capital invested in developing reliable supplies. The measure still needs to be passed by the California Senate and signed by Governor Gavin Newsom before it becomes law. To help California farmers adjust to certain weather and climate events, USDA National Institute for Food and Agriculture awarded $1.5 million to a team of scientists led by the University of California Agriculture and Natural Resources. The project is one of six projects funded by NIFA's $9 million investment to expand adoption of climate-smart practices. The Cooperative Extension System and USDA Climate Hubs have unmatched capacity to reach agricultural, tribal, and underserved communities, as well as educators and students and our nation's farmers directly. That according to USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack in a statement announcing the grant recipients. This partnership will strengthen climate research efforts and accelerate the development, adoption, and application of science-based climate-smart practices that benefit everyone. If California's specialty crop growers are to benefit, they need locally relevant climate information and adaptation resources. That according to UCCE specialist Tapan Pathak, who is based at the University of California, Merced, and is a principal investigator for the grant. Pathak is conducting needs assessments with local growers and other stakeholders, workshops, and climate smart agriculture training, as well as involving students, so tomorrow's scientists will be well-versed in the challenges. Recently, he hosted the Merced Climate Change Workshop, which focused on tree nuts because they cover so much acreage and are so valuable to the state's economy. At least one of the coming years, his workshop will focus specifically on grapes, while others will be centered on the crops grown in certain areas. For example, a session on berries and vegetables would be a natural for a Central Coast workshop. Each meeting will feature a wide range of experts on various ramifications of climate change. At the Merced workshop, the 10 topics included the effects of climate change not only on the crops, but pests, water management, power supply, cover cropping, and whole orchard recycling, among others. Pathak says that they have been surveying producers and hosting focus groups to find out what the workshops should address. His questions include, what challenges are they facing? What are their priorities? And what do they want UCC to address? Of course, he is referring to producers. He says they will tailor the workshops based on those needs and says, for example, starting with nut production, they have come to realize chill is a big issue. The concept of chilling hours is not only a big issue when it comes to climate change, but also extraordinarily complex. UCCE advisor Craig Kalson theorizes that pistachio growers should think less about chill in wintertime these days and should think more about heat during winter interfering with the trees' normal cycle. Mission Produce Incorporated, a world leader in sourcing, producing, and distributing fresh Hass avocados with additional offerings in mangoes and blueberries, has announced the appointment of Diana McLean as the Director of Marketing and Communications. McLean is responsible for leading Mission's marketing strategy to strengthen customer engagement, drive business development, and further market innovation as a leader in the avocado category. McLean comes to Mission with 15 years of experience in fresh produce marketing and previously held leadership positions at Ocean Mist Farms, Tanamura, and Antel Fresh Foods, and others. She holds a bachelor's degree of science in business administration with a marketing emphasis from California Polytechnic State University. Based in Watsonville, California, Procurent, a cloud-based software company, is revolutionizing the global food supply chain and has unveiled a new voice-enabled rating feature in its Procurent Inspect application, further streamlining retail produce inspections while providing real-time data to buyers and sellers of fresh produce. Procurent Inspect is a mobile application that runs on any standard tablet device, simplifying the labor-intensive process of inspecting produce and other perishables at distribution centers. With the addition of the voice-enabled rating feature, inspectors can now efficiently record inspection data using voice commands, saving valuable time and reducing manual input errors. The voice-enabled rating feature seamlessly integrates with the Procurent platform, where buyers and suppliers already manage shipment information and purchase orders. This integrated approach supports advanced analytics into supplier performance and quality and provides rapid visibility to all parties in the event of rejections. New voice-enabled rating feature highlights include hands-free data entry for inspectors during the inspection process, reduction in manual input errors, and increased efficiency, and also offers seamless integration with the Procurent platform for real-time data sharing. Based in Santa Paula, California, Limonera Company is a diversified citrus growing, packing, selling, and marketing company with related agribusiness activities and real estate development operations, and they have released their annual sustainability report. The report highlights Limonera's continued progress on its environmental, social, and governance practices. The report was prepared in accordance with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Sustainable land stewardship is at the core of the organization and has guided their farming practices for 130 years. That, according to Harold Edwards, president and CEO of Limonera, he says they are committed to being a catalyst for positive change, and the report allows them to outline their ESG pillars along with their annual performance against those pillars and identify areas of improvement as they work towards creating a better future and long-term value for shareholders, employees, and customers. Here are some of the highlights from that report. Renewable energy powered over 44% of all operations at Limonera, an increase from over 30% the prior year. They had expanded implementation of climate-smart agricultural practices, increased diversity on the board of directors with 43% of directors now female, and they distributed $2.5 million in charitable donations.
Introducing My Ag Life Jobs, the pathway to career opportunities in California agriculture. Whether you're currently in pursuit of employment or searching for talent as an employer, our network serves as the resource to connections in the agricultural industry. Plant roots in your career and embark today by exploring jobs.myaglife.com. That's jobs.myaglife.com. The Department of Water Resources is implementing an emergency program to divert high river flows away from flood-prone Central Valley communities and into groundwater recharge basins. DWR is working with local agencies and equipment vendors to provide funding and secure much-needed temporary diversion equipment, including pumps and siphons, and will support their deployment by local agencies. Solving water issues in the short term and creating resiliency in the long term.
To sum it up, we're really trying to put these floodwaters to work and really come in and try and support the local actions that are happening by the water districts and other entities that have been working day in and day out for weeks and weeks now and doing a lot of diversion already. But we're trying to come in and enhance where we can. And through a lot of outreach that's gone on over this runoff season and flood season, we're really trying to identify where that assistance is needed so we can be helping enhance what the locals are already doing, which is a lot of great flood diversion and recharge, which, you know, a number one priority of all this is really to reduce the flood risks and reduce the flood waters that are continuing to be in the channel and, you know, ending up at the Tulare Lake bed or other areas where it's causing issues. And so that's really the first and foremost goal of this effort, is to help support more of that work to divert floodwaters so they don't end up at the lake bed, but also thinking a little bit longer term with knowing that there's a lot of areas and action happening to put water back into the ground. And I think that gets to your question where in the near term, you know, there's more of a flood diversion and flood attenuation response, and every little bit helps with that. But in the longer term, it's really trying to put this water back into the ground, which is helping to stabilize the groundwater levels, maybe increase them a little bit in certain areas, which we know that the groundwater basins are our largest form of storage and water resource in California, especially in drought times. And so that's agricultural industry utilizes groundwater a lot, as we know, as well as the communities that live in these areas and the environment. So I think this is really multi-benefit type of work that, again, the vast majority of this action is being done by the locals and has been. And we're really trying to come in and help support and enhance more of it being done.
That was Stephen Springhorn, supervising engineer and geologist in the Sustainable Groundwater Management Division of DWR. Logistically, this program is very complicated, trying to get pumping equipment to these different areas, but Springhorn said the water districts have actually made that part pretty easy. In terms of the actual pumps themselves,
there's different vendors out there that supply these large pumps. They're typically anywhere from 12 to 18 or more inch diameter pipes and temporary pumps that pump water out of a high flow river or out of a water delivery system and into these recharge basins. So you're talking anywhere from 5 cubic feet per second flow rate for the smaller pumps to up to 50 cubic feet per second for the bigger pumps. And so we have almost 10 pumps in operation through this program right now, and almost another 30 pumps that are in the works of some form of installation and operation. And as we know from the historic snowpack and the snow that's still up in the mountains that's yet to be melting and running off, the snowmelt runoff season is going to be extended this year. And the governor, through three executive orders now, has really mobilized and incentivized this streamlined way of taking this flood water off the rivers in a responsible way, and then really having this secondary benefit of recharge. And so that's where these executive orders, most recent one came out last week from the governor, and that extends these flood diversions for recharge all the way to August 31st. And so each pump in its own might not be that much, you know, 5 CFS or 50 CFS. But when you start to stack up multiple pumps on these different high flow rivers, like the Kings, the Kaweah, the Kern rivers, that are really the main ones that are causing water to come into the lake bed in certain cases, strategically, it does add up, and it adds up to quite a bit of water. And so we are tracking that. So, you know, it's dynamic, but we'll have a better sense of the total number of acre feet or CFS that these pumps are diverting off in the coming weeks as we continue to work with local agencies on this.
On the topic of working with local agencies, Springhorn iterated how crucial it is to maintain the relationship between state and local districts, and that the relationships are key.
As we think about any type of resource management question or challenge, and definitely this year, and with climate change and how we're having to adapt to the weather whiplash from extreme dry to extreme wet, we need to build these collaborative partnerships and these relationships that we can rely on each other and really pool resources and assets to attack the problems that we collectively face. And so I think it's been just another example where the local districts that are on the ground and the GSAs that are most of these districts are within a groundwater sustainability agency. They are working hard day in and day out. And for us to be able to help assist with enhancing what they can do and leveraging what they're already doing, it's really been really great to see. And it's not just the Department of Water Resources. Our colleagues at the State Water Resources Control Board have been really working hard to help streamline water rights permitting and temporary permits for water rights. And so it's really, we're at the direction of the governor and the water supply strategy that came out last year in the drought, but it had goals and directions to increase the amount of groundwater recharge that happens in the state to the tune of 500,000 acre feet every year. And this year, a lot more than that is being done through the coordinated state response with all the recharge efforts, from streamlining permits, utilizing the existing permits and recharge basins that are there. And some of these more emergency response or actions, like executive orders that the governor has put in place, and this temporary pump program for flood diversion. So you can stack all those up, it grows to a large number, and that's on top of what the locals are doing day in and day out and have been doing in certain parts of the valley for decades with groundwater recharge. So at the end of the day, you know, we're able to do a lot more when we work together. And it's been really, this is a good example of that.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Don't miss your opportunity to attend the only event of its kind taking place this summer. Join us on June 21st, 2023 in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event. The Crop Consultant Connect event will bring you and many of your independent crop consultant peers together. You'll also get access to virtual CE hours as an exclusive thank you for attending this event. Your registration includes breakfast, lunch, coffee, snacks, as well as a wealth of information you're able to glean from this experience. Please visit progressivecrop.com for more information. Join us on June 21st in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event.
The Kroger Company has announced it has been named a 2023 SEAL Business Sustainability Awards winner in the Environmental Initiatives category. The SEAL, which stands for Sustainability, Environmental Achievement, and Leadership Awards, honor the organizations and leaders dedicated to making real progress on the most pressing issues of our time, including climate change and environmental challenges. Kroger received the honor in recognition of its signature Zero Hunger Impact Plan. The Department of Agriculture recently announced assistance for dairy producers with the new Organic Dairy Marketing Assistance Program. The program helps dairy producers mitigate market volatility, higher input and transportation costs, and unstable feed supply and prices that have created unique hardships in the organic dairy industry. USDA's Farm Service Agency is offering $104 million in grants to dairy operations to assist with projected marketing costs in 2023, calculated using their marketing costs in 2022. Organic dairy producers have faced significant and unique increases in their marketing costs, compounded by increases in feed and transportation costs and the limited availability of organic grain and forage commodities. FSA Administrator Zach Duchenau says that without assistance, many organic dairies, particularly small organic dairies will cease production. FSA just began accepting applications for the program. Eligible producers include certified organic dairy operations that produce milk from cows, goats, and sheep. Scores of small rural communities are getting an economic job boost from a new USDA investment package. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
One of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack's goals for his department is this:
to help rebuild and strengthen the middle class in rural America.
And so to that end,
today we make a significant investment of $394 million through the Rural Development Mission Area at USDA.
Vilsack telling reporters Monday that the money in the form of loans and grants will help fund 52 projects in 8 states and Puerto Rico. For example, one New Mexico community needs a public safety complex.
It would include, in part, a new fire station. This resource is going to help pay for the design and environmental reports necessary to get this project off the ground.
Vilsack says for some projects, the funds will go for actual purchases of equipment or construction of facilities. And while these projects are for small and under-resourced communities, he says put the projects all together and
these investments will provide assistance and help, potentially to communities that service more than 2 million people.
Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
A recent Potatoes USA survey investigated different regions' preferred ways to eat potatoes. The survey results are in. When Americans were asked about their favorite nutritious ways to eat potatoes, baked came in on top at 41%, followed by mashed potatoes at 17%. As far as the Deep South, Mid-Atlantic, and Pacific regions, people reported that they love boiling and steaming potatoes the most. There is also some flexibility here because you can cut prep time by steaming potatoes before and using them in dishes like traditional potato salad. In the Great Lakes area, residents like to air fry their spuds. In the Farm Belt, roasted potatoes came in on top. And in the mountain region, potatoes are most commonly eaten with a protein-veggie combo. According to Potatoes USA, potatoes are a nutrient-dense vegetable. A medium skin on potato provides nearly one-third of the daily value of vitamin C, 15% of the daily value of potassium, and 10% of the daily value of vitamin B6. Potatoes are naturally gluten-free, fat-free, cholesterol-free, and sodium-free. Research published in a journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics found that potatoes have the highest score per dollar on 8 important nutrients, including potassium, fiber, protein, vitamins C and E, calcium, iron, and magnesium. Potatoes also have a longer shelf life than many fresh vegetables.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.